So let's talk about the first seven shlokas. Can we get more air? Just a little crack in the window, and maybe just if you can hand. That's a pretty little crack. And then, do we need the fan?
I can
use it. Bali, do you need it? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Let's see if the air does the trick. So
maybe we can need for 15 minutes then.
Okay. Just turn on really low, if it's possible. So these first seven verses can guide us completely in life. First one shows us where to place our attention. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashanti Suryoho Divav Chakshratatam Tad Biprosovi Panyavo Jagravansa Samindate Vishnu Yat Paramam Param. We're walking in this world, but we're aiming at the lotus feet of the Lord. And we can't be satisfied unless the Lord is completely perfect, unless the object of our meditation is completely perfect and reciprocates in a perfect way. So Krishna is perfect in all ways, and he's perfect in his reciprocation with the living entities also. When someone turns their attention towards Krishna, Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstatayeva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanavartante manushya parta sarvasha. That as one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. And everyone follows on my path in all respects in this world. And anything that's non-Krishna, that's not related to Krishna, is mentioned originally by Krishna to Brahma in the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. Ratertam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidyaratmanom hayam yatapaso yatatamaha. He says, anything that appears to be without relationship to me, know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. And the reflection isn't satisfying. And it's ephemeral, it's temporary, it's moving, but turning our attention back to the source, that's completely satisfying. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshata syad ishara petasya viparya yosmritihi tanmayayato buddha abhajet tan bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. Kavi Yogendra gives the formula for success. First of all, he said that our problem is focusing on what is not Krishna. We're thinking that there is something different from Krishna. Dvitiya, seeing a separateness. Everything's actually Krishna. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Everything's emanating from Krishna. But when I see something different from Krishna, I become filled with fear. Because I don't see how Krishna's the enjoyer of the sacrifices. He's the proprietor of everything. And he's also the best friend. Without these three things, I can't be peaceful. Bhayam dvitiya binibesha tasyad ishara petasya viparya yosmriti. And my intelligence has become contrary to my original nature, and I'm turned away from Krishna, absorbed in things that are not Krishna. So the solution is to turn back to the original, all-perfect person, the all-perfect personality Godhead. Tanmaya tad buddha abhajet tam bhaktyaika yesham, with one pointed attention, bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. One should approach Guru and Krishna and fully invest one's energy and intelligence there. So the first verse tells us about the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then the next one is Isavasham midang sarvam yatkincha jagat yam jagat tena tyak tena bunjita magrida kasasuddhanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. And one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Honor among thieves, that's what we have in the material world. Everyone's dividing up the property of the Lord honestly. And therefore, there's always anxiety because I'm taking something that doesn't belong to me. But tena tyaktena punjita, there is something that's set aside for me by the Lord himself. A cow eats grass and gives milk, but a cow doesn't take milk unless it's a calf. Just satisfied, and it leaves the milk for the human being. Tiger eats meat, doesn't eat other things. Doesn't eat halva, at least not that I've seen. And so the Lord has an arrangement. There's a perfect arrangement within nature, and Krishna's provided for everyone. The ants are working hard, and they're getting their food without me doing anything. I don't have to start a society for the protection of homeless ants. Do I? Of course, nowadays, you know, well, I don't know if there is one for ants, but for elephants, because people slaughter them so much. But generally, if elephants are left to their own in the wild, they have enough to eat. They're fine. They have to be protected from poachers nowadays. But elephants eat so much every day, and they're taken care of. So ants are eating, elephants are eating, everyone's eating. The food problem is not a big deal because tena tyaktena bunjita, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhood, is all perfect, has arranged for everyone, for every living entity. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. There is one Supreme Eternal and there are plural Eternals who are the parts and parcels of the one Supreme Eternal. And the difference between the two, one is the supplier and the others, the plural, are the supplied. So Krishna can supply for everyone. And if someone imbibes this consciousness of the all-perfect personality of Godhead, thinking of the all-perfect personality of Godhead, and of accepting only what is set aside as his quota, seeing how everything else belongs, it's controlled and owned by the Lord, then kurvan eveha karmani jijivishek shatam samaha evam twai nanyate tosti na karma lipitenare. There's no impediment for that person in this world. He's not getting karma. He's working in such a way that he doesn't become entangled. And there's no alternative to this way for man. Working without this kind of knowledge is like driving on the 101 freeway with one's eyes blindfolded. There certainly will be accidents and bloodshed. Then, asurya namate loka antena tamasavrita tamste pratyabhikshanti yeke cha mahanojanaha. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the worlds known as the planets of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. And Krishna describes two kinds of living entities in the Bhagavad Gita, the suras and the asuras. So the asuras do not accept the authority of the Lord. And therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, moga sha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha, that they take these impious people, the demoniac, they take shelter of these ideas that there is no Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, mogasha, moga karmano, means that their fruit of activities are baffled. Mogasha means baffled. Mogasha, moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa. Their intelligence and their knowledge becomes bewildered. Rakshasim asurim chaiva prakriti mohintim shita. These people are hindered in every way because they don't accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the verse in the Sri Upanishad says, asurya namate loka antena tamasavrita. They go to the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Ashradhana purusha tarmasyasya parantapa. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmani. Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that those who are ashradhana, those who are faithless, they don't go back to Godhead, but they fall back down again into the pool of birth and death in this material world. Ashradhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa. Aprapya, they don't get me, they don't attain me. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmani. They get death and samsara, Vartmani, that's their path, is death and samsara, those who are faithless. So that's, there's a world for the faithless people, where they can all be accommodated. That's the world of the asuras. Asuryanamate loka. And then the Supreme Lord and his dexterity is described in the next verse. Ane jarikam manaso javio naina devapnuvam purvanasha tadhavato jnana teti tishta tasminapoma tarishva dadati. That the powerful demigods cannot approach him. He can overcome all others running. He is in charge of those who supply the air and the rain. He surpasses all in excellence. He's better than everyone. Powerful demigods can't approach him. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo vayuradhapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yap prapadasimnya vichintya tatve govindamari purusham damaham bhajami. Krishna's superior to everyone. Ashvamurva. No one is equal to and no one is better than him. Everyone's lower. Only Krishna is supreme. He's the supreme controller. He's the best of, at everything. He's, except for the devotees, they can control Krishna because he's prone to their love. Then tarejati tanaijati tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya teru sarvasya sipayata. The Supreme Lord walks and he's not walk. He's far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. Inconceivable power of the Supreme Lord is expressed here. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagaravyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshavashtita. Krishna expresses similar kinds of things in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita about how he's within everything, he's outside of everything, his energy is all pervading, yet still he maintains his own personality, which is the source of everything else. Everything rests in him, but still he's outside of it all. He's aloof from it all at the same time. This is his mystic potency, Krishna. He walks and he doesn't walk. And in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a discussion amongst the personified Vedas. And they're trying to discern whether the Lord is personal or impersonal. From these kinds of statements, sometimes people become bewildered. He walks and he does not walk. He's far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, yet he's outside of everything. Therefore, people come to the conclusion that spirit is something wispy. It's something amorphous. It's not substantial. The body is substantial, but the soul is something ethereal. You really can't put your finger on it. And God must be like that too. Can't really describe him. And he's certainly not a person. If he is, it's only a temporary manifestation. This is mental speculation. People come to this idea. And in the Upanishadic language, the Shrisha Upanishad is telling us about the inconceivable potencies of the Lord, but it's not saying that he's wispy or amorphous or that he's impersonal, but it's describing rather his inconceivable power, that he can be everywhere and at the same time and still be a person. Tad ejati, tad naijati, tad dure, tad vantike, tarantarasya sarvasya. He's within everything, and yet he's outside of everything. He's in Goloka Vrindavan, but at the same time, he's manifested here as Shishi Radhamadan Mohan. He's in Goloka, but he also manifests his abode of Gokula Vrindavan on earth. He marries 16,108 wives. And in each palace, Narada saw that he was performing a different pastime at the same time, simultaneously. Same Krishna, but different pastime with each one of his family members and wives. Tarejati, tanaijati, tadure, tadvanti. He's far away, but he is very near as well. He is within the heart of everyone. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaye sharajuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudranimaya. Every yantra, every material body that's moving in this material world has the jiva inside, and right next to the jiva, Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. I'm right with that living entity. He's there as the supersoul within every living entity. And Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Taraham Bhakti Parita Mashnami Pariyatmanaha. You can be here, offer Krishna a fruit with love and devotion, and he'll accept it. He can reach all the way from Goloka Vrindavan and take your offering. That's how powerful he is. Then, yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanu pashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vijugupsate. Yastu sarvani bhutani. One who sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. People love that one. On Sankirtan, I always show them that. Look at this. Here's how to be happy. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanu pashyati. Here's how you should see. See everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and see the Supreme Lord within everything. That includes in everything that happens to us in this life. Tatenu kampam susamikshamanu bunjane ivatmakritam vipakam. The devotee is aware that everything that happens to him or her is being directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotee doesn't worry. He knows Krishna is very kind, and he's directing everything. Yastu sarvani bhutani, one who sees everything in relationship with the Supreme Lord, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything. See everything in relationship with the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord within everything. So we saw a billboard that showed the new 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola. I saw it on Saturday. They're introducing a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola, and it showed on the billboard they were pouring out the Coca-Cola into glasses, and it said, share the happiness. You saw it, right? Share the happiness. And I thought, so how do you see that in relationship to the Supreme Lord, that billboard? Share the happiness, and it's got Coca-Cola. How's that in relationship to the Supreme Lord? Coca-Cola is the real thing. There you go. Coke is it. And Krishna is it. Once I was in England, I was on traveling Sankirtan. We were going from town to town. And there was a song. I was in a little, I was going shop to shop in these little stores. And there was some music playing. It was Diana Ross and the Supremes. You never heard of her probably. Anyway. She was singing a song. She says, you are everything, and everything is you. So, you know, you are everything, and everything is you. And I thought of this verse, yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanu pashyati. One who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord within everything. You are everything, and everything is you. You are everything, and everything is you. So she was singing about, it was a mundane love song, actually. But when I heard it, because I had read the Sri Upanishad, I was thinking, yeah, it's about Krishna. And no one else could fit that lyric. No one else. Some person she's singing to, but, you know, later on, you find out they got divorced, and it was messy, and, you know, these things in the material world, they don't last, and, you know, now she hates him. He's not everything. I don't even want to think about him anymore. But Krishna is everything. And so even the idea of pleasure being poured out or being shared, that comes originally from the spiritual world. It comes from Krishna. But it's a reflection here in the material world. So we can see everything in relationship to Krishna. Daivahi esha gunamayi ma mamaya turatyaya. Maya is duratyaya. It's very difficult to contend with. And actually, durga means difficult to go. Durgachati, very difficult to go in this world. To build a house is difficult. It takes a lot to build a house. You have to make the blueprints. You have to get the money. You got to get the loan. You got to get the people. Then they're not on time. And then You know, it's over schedule, and then it's over budget, and then you got to deal with the house. And the material energy is endlessly troublesome.
And then the house value goes down.
And then the house value goes down by 75%. And then you have to decide what you're going to do with it. So duratyaya means very difficult, this illusory energy to deal for a permanent living entity who's seeking eternal pleasure, to deal with this illusory, wispy, always changing ephemeral energy is very difficult. I've used the word wispy three times so far. And but one who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. He's not averse to it. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no vijet prapya cha priyam. Stira buddhira sammudo, brahma vid brahmanistitaha. He's not disturbed when something unpleasing comes that's not dear to him. Priya means dear. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no vijet prapya cha priyam. If he gets the thing that's dear, he doesn't become elated. If he gets the thing that's not dear to him, well, that's not very dear to me. I don't want that. But still, he's not disturbed because he understands things are coming and going in this world. They're not. I'm not in control of that. I'm not creating the fruits of work. I'm not making the material energy go, and I'm not even in charge of how this body works. It's going on like a machine, actually. The person remains detached and sees how the Supreme Lord is controlling everything. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, nodvijet prapya cha priyam. Stira buddhir. He has a steady mind. Stira buddhir asammudo. He's not bewildered. Brahmavid. He knows Brahman. Because he knows Brahman, he knows the source. Janmad yasa yataha. This is how we see everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, because it all emanates from him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanvita. Maybe we have to close the window now because the kids are playing outside. And so one who knows this, brahmavid brahmani stitaha, he's situated in Brahman and he knows Brahman, and aham sarvasya prabhavo, he knows that who's the original Brahman and what is the source of everything, where everything comes from. And therefore, he worships that person from whom everything comes with all his heart. Krishna says that. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanvita. With all his heart, he worships that supreme person from whom everything comes. He never hates anything or any being also. Any adverse situation, he sees it in relationship to the supreme personality of Godhead. Any gain that comes, he sees it in relationship to the Supreme Personality of God. It never hates anything nor any being. Not even Dick Cheney. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vad bhuvijanataha tatrako mahakashoka ekatvam anupashyata. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? We tell people all the time when we go on Sankirtan, right? Books on yoga, meditation shows you how to get free from stress. And this is how to get free from stress. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vad bhud vijanataha. This is the seventh verse in this Ishapanishad. I'm sure I should have told you. This book, you look at the seventh verse, seventh mantra. That's what we're talking about. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vad bhud vijanataha tatrako moha ka shoka. It's asking a question. What then can be illusion or anxiety for such a person who systematically sees? Anupashyati. Anu means to follow, and pashyati means to see. So anupashyati means to systematically, through a system, to see how everyone is a spiritual spark. How all living entities are spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, including yourself. People don't like themselves very much, actually. This is why there's so many, social interaction is a funny thing. People say things to you sometimes, I'm not very good, am I? But what they're actually saying is, please tell me how good I am. I didn't do very well, did I? No, you did great. It's because I don't like myself. I don't like how I am. But actually, this verse points out that you should love yourself, actually. You should love yourself because yourself is part and parcel of Krishna. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vad bhut vijanataha tatra ko kaham mohakashoka. What for a person who knows this thing, that every living being, the grasshopper, little grasshopper in that mechanical body. There was a grasshopper who came in my room today, just sat there watching me. And I was looking at him and thinking, you're a little spirit soul, but you got a grasshopper body. And what then can be illusion or anxiety for such a person if we see like this, that the soul is indestructible? My soul is indestructible. It can't be burnt, can't be cut, it can't be dried, it can't be drowned. The body can be and will be. In fact, Satyadeva Prabhu told me that everyone drowns eventually. Because at the time of death, kidneys fail, all the organs fail, heart fails, and it all drains out into the lungs, and you drown in your own juices, basically. But the soul doesn't drown, and it doesn't get burned up either. Even if it goes to the sun planet, the sun can't burn the soul. And what is the sun? Ashesha tejaha. Unlimitedly hot. That's hot. You can burn your mouth on hot milk. That's pretty hot. But the sun is ashesha tejaha. It's unlimitedly hot, but it can't burn the soul. That's how powerful, that's how the soul is. Ekat vammanupashita. One who sees like this and sees the oneness of all souls in their quality becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for such a person? Can't be disturbed. Can't be killed. I can't be killed. That's big news. Because the news in the material world is, be in anxiety. Be afraid. I saw this headline yesterday on the paper. Walked by the paper box. Did my checkout of the daily news by taking a 2-second look to see if anybody's developed a positive attitude. And sure enough, no. It said something about Europe. Europe is something about ready for a disaster. They're all waiting because apparently, again, some expert has said that, you know, Europe's going to be hit by terrorism or something like that. What else is new? I could be a terrorism expert. You just pay me a few $100,000 a year. I'll go on television and I'll tell everyone, you know, anything could happen. You know, I can tell you after all our studies that, you know, they could strike again. Anything can happen. Because this world, it's unpredictable. Anything can happen at any time. What's a clear, glassy ocean? 2 minutes later, it's a huge storm blowing your boat and you're holding on for dear life. 1 second, I think, I'm so happy, I'm wealthy, I'm driving a new car and it's got a full tank of gas and I got a lot of money in the bank and a 401(c) that to back it up. Double my money. And then next minute, it's all gone. That's Maya, material world. But what's not Maya is understanding that I'm permanent spirit soul. And what is my business as a permanent spirit soul? Satchidananda, full knowledge, full eternity, full bliss in relationship with the original source of all that, of all the Satchidananda, where it all comes from, reconnecting with my original source. Ekat vam manupashitaha. One who sees like that, systematically sees like that, what then can be illusion or anxiety for such a person? Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaivad bhutvijanataha. Tatrako mahakashoka ekat vam manupashitaha. One who systematically sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So these first 7 verses of the Sri Upanishad give us the foundation for our entire life and for the whole process of yoga and for the entire system of Krishna consciousness. You have everything you need right in those first 7 verses. You can live in those verses. You can expound on those verses unlimitedly. You can present them to the world. You can write an introductory book about Krishna consciousness with the first 7 verses of the Sri Upanishad. And you can go back home, back to Godhead. Yanti deva vrta devam pitrin yanti pratir vrta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yanti yajinopi mam. One who is focused on worshiping me, Krishna says, he comes back to me. With these first seven verses, we can fully focus on Krishna in everything, in every living being, in every circumstance, in every situation, in our work, and thinking about the all-perfect person and how he's arranging everything, including the not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. I heard that when I first got the Bhakti Guided magazine, and from then on, I remember sitting there, and I, whenever the wind would blow, I think, there it goes again. It's coming all the way from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's such a revelation to think about that the Supreme is a person. He's actually organizing everything. He's the Supreme Intelligence behind everything. No one talks like that. In fact, most people who have presented Bhagavad Gita, there are about, 2,000 versions of Bhagavad Gita. I just read this. 2,000 versions? Maybe it's 4,000. I read it in the Steve Rosen, Satyaraj's book, the Uddhava Gita. Did you read that? He wrote a new a book on the Uddhava Gita, an introduction. A professor wrote the introduction to it, or the foreword, and he was saying how there's 2,000 or 4,000 versions of the Bhagavad Gita. But none of them have come right out and said Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great scholars in India have written a commentary, scholarly commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. And then when Krishna says, surrender unto me, this so-called scholar will write, it's not to Krishna one should surrender, it's to the unborn within Krishna, whatever that's supposed to mean. And bewilders the mind, whereas there's no difference between the inside and the outside of Krishna. Tarantarasya sarvasya tudu sarvasya sibhayata. The inside of Krishna, the outside of Krishna, it's the same. So when we get this direct, clear information, this is called sambandha gyan, that I have a relationship with the Supreme Person, that's big news. That changes everything. It puts a spring in our step. It's like the prayers, the personified Vedas say that the living in the material world is like a homeless person. But then someone comes along and says, actually, you have a jewel around your neck. You've just forgotten. You're actually wealthy. So that's what the Shirsha Upanishad is. It's the messenger of the best news possible for everyone in the material world. So this is the book. We should distribute millions of these books. Right? Sonny read it twice and then came to the temple and said, I read it once. I couldn't believe it. It was too good to be true. So I read it again. And here I am. I surrender. Sri Ishapanishad Ki Jai. Gopremanande Haribo. Okay, questions, comments, and reflections. QCR. QCR. Yes.
Regarding the verse you quoted, this is, as I surrender, as one surrenders unto me, I reward accordingly. That sounds so much like a mundane business mentality where one serves someone and he rewards accordingly.
Yeah, it does, but it's not. And here's why. Because it's just like the sun. The sun is an equal opportunity distributor. Gives to everyone. The sun is giving life to everyone in this world. And the only people that don't take advantage of the sun or can't take advantage of the sun are the ones who stay inside all the time. In fact, that's a problem these days. There's a big vitamin D deficiency, I've heard. Because people don't get enough sun. And even when they go out, they smear this stuff all over their body so it doesn't come in. So if you do that, then you don't take advantage of the sun. You can't take advantage of the sun. So it's not that the sun is distributing its mercy impartially. It's nourishment impartially. It's available to everyone. It's receptivity. So although the verse sounds like that, what's actually taking place is Krishna is saying that become more receptive. When a high court judge is giving out sentences, he may say to one person, you go to jail for 100 years. And the next person comes in and goes, give him $1 million. And someone may say, that's impartial. That's partiality. Pardon. But it's not, because he's following the law. It's not the judge's idea. It's the law. And one person killed somebody, so he goes to jail for the rest of his life. The other person, became a hero and was awarded $1 million. So it's our receptivity. So Krishna says, Samaham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostinapara. But then he says in the second half of the verse, although he's equal to everyone, those who are a friend to me, I'm a friend to them. Because he's absolute. Krishna's all good. I mean, even when Krishna kills somebody, it's actually for their benefit. So he's not a merchant. He's not dealing like that. Yes, Virgendra.
Just wanted to add something to Prabhuji's question.
I'll bet it's a Prabhupada story.
It's from Mahabharata.
Okay.
So I was just reading a section of Mahabharata where Krishna meets, he's going to meet Duryodhan to find a peace treaty. So he's meeting Vidura, and Vidura is telling him, why are you going, to Duryodhan? You know that he's not going to give you, the land, and he's not going to give even that much. Then Krishna says, he said very wonderfully, he said that, suppose you're a friend, you have a friend, and he's doing something which is not beneficial for him, you would pull his hair to save him. So he says, I also have that mood. I am also trying to do the same thing. So I was just thinking that, Krishna is, when he says that he is friend for all, he was even a friend to Duryodhan. But then Duryodhan, he actually planned to kidnap Krishna. And Krishna knew this. And therefore he showed him the Virat form. And then Duryodhan got a little afraid. But then Duryodhan said, I'm just trying to say that Krishna is a friend, but if the other person is not very receptive, as you are saying, then Krishna will, act accordingly. But still, the last point, he still remains a good friend.
Well, Prabhupada points out also that even the demons, when they blaspheme Krishna, and they say, oh, this Krishna, that Krishna, like our Christian friends the other night, when we went out to do the Harinam, they're saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, this, this, this. So Prabhupada says, for one lifetime, they may go down into a lower species. But the positive effect of them saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna will act. And then after they've been put in that situation for a little while, they'll come back and they'll get the fruit of their contact with Krishna. It's kind of like, guy gets drunk and starts going around town knocking over mailboxes or something. So the sheriff locks him up for the night, puts him in jail until he sobers up a little bit, and then he lets him out later. So even when somebody comes in contact with Krishna who's unfavorable, just because they've contacted Krishna, they also get benefit.
Christians, they were very vocal.
Prabhupada used to say that, and people said things about us all the time, in the paper and also in person. I was with some friends a while back, and we were talking about the good old days and when we used to go out and distribute books when we were kids, and all the times that we got in fights. And one time, a guy pulled a knife on us, stuff like that. Anyway, Prabhupada said different things. One thing was that sometimes people will come and they'll see us engage in our activities and they'll say, oh, that rascal Krishna man. And he said, they say rascal Krishna man, that's what they're thinking, but he said Krishna. So he gets the benefit of that. Sometimes people used to steal books from us too, because we'd show the book and it was kind of a sport where they'd come by and they'd say, oh yeah, very interesting, thanks, and they'd take it and they'd run off. They'd run off with the book. And they did it all the time. And so some devotee wrote to Prabhupada and told him what was happening. What should we do? What should we think? Prabhupada said, lucky thief. You know, he came in contact, runs away with a book, and then, what did I get here? And so, yes, by contact with Krishna, you know, even it's mentioned about Shishupal. Shishupal, when he was born, the first babble that came out of his mouth when he was a little baby, Krishna's name, started blaspheming Krishna. But Shishupal gained Sayuja Mukti. Of course, later on, he came back into his position as Jai or Vijay. But Prabhupada mentions in this section of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam about even the demons, when they come in contact with Krishna, they get the benefit part is permanent. The other part wears off after some time. So sometimes, you know, yes. Yeah, you wanted to follow up?
Mantra 7 that you just discussed, where it is saying that one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord doesn't have anything to fear, no anxiety or illusion. So those who are in anxiety or fear in the material world, they are in that condition because they don't have this knowledge,
yes,
and are not implementing it.
That's correct. That's where it comes from. When one comes to the spiritual platform, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. This is the state that one enters into when one transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman, that he becomes joyful. Immediately joyful, because he realizes, I am something, I exist, I'm an eternal spark, I'm a eternal part of Krishna, I'm the source of myself is unlimited, eternal, and perfect. And there's no anxiety in that. There is an anxiety about going shopping, however, and thinking that if I don't do this, I'll die, if I don't do that, I'll die. There's always anxiety in the material world. But transcending the modes, Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangha sajayate. This verse describes the state of consciousness of a person who is entering into the threshold of the bhakti realization and coming to the Brahman platform and understanding his relationship with Brahman. And that is that he becomes joyful. Evam prasanna manaso. The mind becomes prasanna, becomes joyful, happy. This is the first sign. And there's no fear, there's no anxiety on the material platform from that. So if I'm in anxiety, if I'm feeling these kinds of things on from the material platform, this is a symptom of identification with the temporary material body and mind.
Now, devotee, just to follow up on this, devotees may be familiar with this knowledge. They have read the Ishopanishad and this verse that you just cited from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that they have come across it, but they may still be experiencing anxiety or fear. We would say that among devotees, there may be different grades of anxiety or fear. That would maybe possibly the reality. Every devotee may not be at the level that the person is joyful and the sole model of what Ishopanishad 7 is saying. Would that then say that there is much room for improvement that has to occur in the devotee? Because apparently the person has the knowledge, but in the actual experience, that is not happening. A devotee or a person in this knowledge is still experiencing anxiety or fear in real life.
Yes.
So there is then a gap, a disconnect, that some improvement has to occur.
Yeah. Therefore, the verse says, Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangha sajayate. The person, when they factually experience it for themselves, which means vigyan. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. Krishna says the perfection of religion is that which is experienced directly for oneself. So, yes, there's plenty of room for improvement between understanding philosophically what the process is and actually experiencing it for oneself. And this is described in general terms in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there are three classes. Of course, there are many ways of looking at things, but three classes. One is the class is the fool. And the fool is happiness because ignorance is bliss. Doesn't know any better. No one's actually told him that, you know, driving a pickup truck and drinking beer and just going to work all day is not very progressive. But, you know, he thinks that's okay. It's kind of like it's happiness in the mode of ignorance. And then there's the Paramahamsa. And the Paramahamsa is liberated in all senses of the term from the clutches of material energy and from the bodily conception of life and is enjoying spiritually ananda. And then there's the person in between. And that is a difficult situation because I know where I should be and I know where I shouldn't be, but I'm right in the middle. And therefore, there's a period of work and struggle and toil. And there may be, however, glimpses, especially by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we may get, as I've said many times before in this class, free samples. So devotees generally, they come after getting a free sample of what it's like to actually experience some ananda or some liberated condition. By the mercy of Krishna, he may give it. This is documented in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Narada Muni, when he was a little boy, left home after getting association with the Bhaktivedantas, these very advanced Vaishnavas, and taking the remnants of their food. And he learned something about devotional life and maybe even the mechanical process of meditation and wandered off by himself. And in one lonely forest, he actually had a direct experience for himself of transcendence. He saw the Lord, and he also experienced completely the happiness, the ananda that comes from being liberated from the material condition of life. And then he came back into the body and into the senses and was very much disturbed after coming back in and mechanically tried to gain back his ananda. And then the Lord spoke to him and said that, you can't do this mechanically. He said, you're a ku yogi. You're a bad yogi. You're attached to the forest and you're not perfect yet. Therefore, you won't be able to experience this again. But he did have the experience. And in the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni explains to Srila Vyasadeva that a devotee who has once tasted this, even had a slight experience of this kind of transcendence, even if that person goes back into the world, because he falls down even from the process of devotional service, can never forget that. Always has a remembrance that there's something there, and it's not here in the material world, and will eventually go back to that position. So the free sample can come to a devotee and give impetus. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam pritipurvakam tadami puti yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Even the neophyte is not without this kind of direction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who's sincere, doesn't matter what level they're on, they may be Paramahamsa or they may be at the very beginning stage of bhakti, but because Krishna is very kind, he's there within the heart and he's directing everyone, he wants them to come to him and he's giving them instruction, he's giving them some intelligence for spiritual life and some taste from within their heart so that they can approach him. And Prabhupada confirms this in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when Kapila Dev is instructing his mother about devotional service. He talks about three levels of devotees and he describes the Kanishta Adhikari, or the very beginning level devotee. And he says that the Kanishta generally sees the Lord within the temple. But what happens when you come to a temple? You come to a temple out of the atmosphere of, you know, Walmart and leaf blowers and horrible bosses and, you know, all these kinds of things. And you walk into the temple and you smell the incense. and you smell the flowers, and you hear a vibration that you don't hear anywhere else, and the person's heart instantaneously, even without their knowledge, becomes lifted to the transcendental platform. And Prabhupada describes this as becoming imperceptibly liberated. So even the neophyte is not without the experience of liberation, but certainly there is a maturity that takes place when someone gives full contribution to devotional service throughout their lifetime. Mam chayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in devotional service in all circumstances and does not fall down rises above the three modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. And this is, there are many ways to talk about the verse, but I always think of it as a description of a lifetime of contribution to of going back to Godhead, struggling through the different phases of your life and continuously performing devotional service. Gradually one rises to the spiritual platform. And of course, Kapiladeva also tells his mother that what's required is, and what's important is the intensity of one's practice. He tells Devahuti, who says it's very difficult to come to this position. She says practically the intelligence is so much conditioned to think that I am this body that I can't tell the difference. She said maybe great Paramahamsas can, but I can't. Kunti said the same thing. And his answer, he said, therefore one must hear very seriously for a long time and practice devotional service. That system of hearing is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam that brings one to the transcendental position. Srinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantakstohya badrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Because Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul within everyone's heart, and a benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire from the heart of the devotee, who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And this is like a coconut, there's or a mango. There's green mango and there's a ripe mango. Mango's a mango, but it has to ripen, and it ripens by being in contact with the process of devotional service. So Keshri's had her hand up for 15 minutes.
Sorry, Prabhu.
Not at all.
I had a question because the one that you were explaining before, that Krishna, when he kills, people who are like demons, when he kills them, those people, when they achieve liberation, they get impersonal liberation, right?
It's not stereotyped.
Oh.
There's no mechanical anything when it comes to Krishna. And for instance, some who are killed by Krishna attain a Sayuja Mukti, but then later on they'll take a post with on the same planet as Krishna. This is also mentioned by Prabhupada in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when he's describing Jaya and Vijaya and their fall to the material world and their implication in bodies of demons, which was really to do service for Krishna. But Prabhupada specifically mentions there that sometimes people, when they get this Suyuja Mukti, it's an entrance way into another kind of liberation.
Okay. And I was also wondering that for people who are like Prahlad Maharaj, he was a devotee, and it said that 10 generations or a few generations before and after, like 21 generations get liberated. So what kind of liberation do those souls get? Because each soul
has Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
Prabhupada said that. He was asked the exact same question. He said, they become Krishna conscious. The devotee said, hurry, Bo.
So they become Krishna conscious.
Just leave it at that.
So they become,
if someone becomes a pure devotee, it affects everyone. It's like, it's described as like a flower. There's some flowers that are so fragrant in my neighborhood, and some of them in my yard. And I watch people walk by sometime. There's a plant. It's this. It's a form of nightshade. It comes out at night. That's got this flower that hangs down like a bell. And people walk by and they stop and they start looking around. There's another one too. It's the Daphne. In the wintertime, when the Daphne blooms, it knocks people over. They walk by and they And they're looking to see where I first discovered it in Japan. It's so fragrant that your mind gets carried away by it. So it's described by Chanakya Pandit that actually a pure devotee is like that kind of flower in the forest. It enchants everyone and it scents the whole forest. So in a family, in a dynasty, if one person is a pure devotee, then the whole dynasty gets that fragrance. And, you know, it's Krishna gives special favor, consideration, because it's not what you know, it's who you know. And so when you know Krishna, when somebody's got some connection with Krishna, then, you know, you have entrance into the spiritual world. You were going to elaborate on this Sayuja Mukti, Srivas Prabhu.
No, just to add, we read that when he killed Putana, Putana got the position of a mother or a nurse in the state of Sukhaishwarya happiness. Mm. So it's a very specific sort of position. So as you mentioned...
Unique also, right?
Yes.
Because of the unique situation. As I was saying, it's not a stereotype situation, but she had a very unique kind of mentality towards Krishna, right? In her previous life, she was there as the sister of Bali Maharaj. And she was, in her heart, she was embracing Vamanadev as a little child, thinking that I wish he was my son. And then when he took away everything from her brother, she thought, I want to kill him. So in her next life, she got this... mixed kind of relationship with Krishna where she treated him as a son, but she was trying to kill him. And the result was, because it was Krishna, because she came in contact with the Supreme Absolute Truth, then eternally she was given a position as a kind of a nursemaid for Krishna in the spiritual world. Not exactly a position like a mother or father, but something perfectly befitting her eternal relationship with him. Yeah. And did you have a question, Sri Krishna Purushottam?
Hare Krishna, bro.
Hare Krishna.
I have a question before. Some people are very much compassionate to animals. I was trying to explain one lady when I went for book distribution. She's making a point animals and human beings are in the same consciousness. Animals are more peaceful than human beings. And if I say no, she won't take the book. Mm-hmm. If I say yes, that is wrong. So how to convince that type of people?
Well, there's two things. One is the principle of selling a book. And when we go out with a goal to sell a book, oftentimes, they say, you say left, they say right. Then you say, oh, no, okay, right's okay with me. Because you know that you're dealing with their mind at that point. And what you're trying to do is accommodate them. Prabhupada used to compare this to, although I don't mean to sound condescending, this doesn't mean to sound condescending, but it does. It's like a parent trying to give medicine to a child, and the child is, no, 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 no. And it's like, then, you can say something else. I'll give you 25 cents if you take it, or whatever, or I'll give you candy, and you say, oh, it's not medicine, it's candy. And then, the trick goes on because here comes the candy and then the medicine goes in or whatever. But the point was that, it's the duty of the doctor. Or the doctor sometimes when somebody's delirious, they may say all kinds of things and then the doctor, yeah, that's fine. No problem. Just take the medicine. Here, and they give the medicine. So the same thing, our mood when we go outside to, especially with book distribution, because we're taking this sort of sutra that Prabhupada said, what good will your 3 minutes preaching try to do? But if they get the book, they'll take it home and then they'll read it. So many other people will read it. So we're kind of in that mood. Not that, I have to convince this person and then they'll take the book. But no, first thing, we get them to take the book. Later, we'll convince them, so it's okay. And, people have all kinds of different ideas about what their values in life are. And those can all be adjusted towards the center as they go forward. And they may, even when they come to Krishna consciousness more, be inclined towards taking care of animals for Krishna. It's okay. It's nothing stereotyped. Everyone doesn't have to do the same kind of service and be in the same kind of mood, but it all becomes purified when it's directed back towards the center. When it's not centered, it's not right, because then you're seeing that, okay, somebody, oh, I like dogs or something like that. Do you like all animals, all living entities? Or it's many people, they have a double standard. You know, they'll take care of, you know, this kind of living entity, but not that kind of living entity. Only when one's actually seeing all living entities in relationship to the Supreme Lord can they feel this actual compassion for helping them, and they know how to help them also. It's not helpful, a lot of the kinds of things that I do in this world, thinking that I'm going to help. It's misguided. Prabhupada gives the example of these parents, and one of the children in the house, there were two brothers. One of them had cholera and was very sick and wasn't supposed to eat anything, because if he did, he might die. And so when the parents went out for an emergency really quick, they told the older brother to take care of the younger brother for a few minutes while they ran out. And when they came back, the younger brother was choking. And what happened? The young brother with cholera was pleading with his brother that, I'm so hungry, if I could just have one paratha. You know, and then he said, all right, you know, I'll give it to you, you know, because he asked and he thought that would be doing good for him, but actually almost killed him. So unless one actually knows the science of how to help somebody, then and knows how to distribute it equally, it's not really helpful. But in any case, the principle is that we may slightly adjust to their, or not resist. It's called really non-resistance, so that they'll be able to accept. Okay. Yes. Oh, could you pass him the microphone, because we don't want the wider audience, Hare Krishna, to miss this.
I had a question about how we view the human form of life. It's described that it's extremely rare, and that analogy of the turtle coming up in the ocean and sticking its nose through like a hole in a log. And at the same time, you were mentioning how once we've gotten a glimpse of Krishna consciousness, we're kind of hooked. And even if we go away, we'll eventually come back to it. And so in one case, it sounds like it's extremely rare, and if this is a missed opportunity that we may never have for a very, very long time. And on the other hand, it sounds like once we take up Krishna consciousness and develop a taste, we're kind of hooked. And we're bound to come back. And so I was wondering which of those.
Well, first of all, developing a taste is a really rare thing also. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many millions among men, one may endeavor for perfection. Of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extended that analogy when he talked to Sanatana Goswami, and he described how there are many kinds of human beings, and only some of them are connected to the Varnashram. And of those who are in the Varnashram, which is a kind of a prerequisite, at least it was, for people to advance in spiritual life, only some of them, a small percentage of them, actually take advantage of the Varnashram system or know what it's about. And of those who are within that, then there are some that are actually devoted to God, and of those who are devoted to God, very few of them are endeavoring for pure devotional service. It becomes more and more refined. So it's kind of a rare thing. And also, if one falls down from the position of the human form of life, it can be a long time before one comes back. But Krishna says, Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayam navidyate svalpamapyasiddharmasya trayate mahato bhayat, that if you take up a little bit of this, then you're saved from the most dangerous type of fear. So, you know, you're right. On one side, there's, you know, a description of how rare the human form of body is, and it's true. And if you miss it, it's the greatest lament, that you've passed up the greatest opportunity. And that's why there's a premium on, you know, so-called preaching and teaching Krishna consciousness, because devotees who realize that see that, you know, if someone doesn't get an opportunity, they're in a precarious situation because they can lose the opportunity and not get it for a long, long time afterwards. And also, there's a feeling with devotees who actually have some momentum in Krishna consciousness not to lose that either, because there's no guarantee. Look at Bharat Maharaj and his diversion into the body of a deer and then Jad Bharat, and he was very advanced. So devotees don't take it also that, well, I've taken a little Krishna consciousness, therefore I'm inoculated, I'm fine. It doesn't really matter if I take another birth anyway, because there are many diversions and things that can take us away for a long, long time. So we also don't want to go that direction either. It's also, you know, another conundrum is that there's the rarity of pure devotional service is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotional, Nectar Devotion. At the same time, the way we talk about it is practically if anybody just says Hare Krishna, they're practically guaranteed of coming up to the highest position. So there's a lot of middle ground to talk about and how one actually makes that advancement to come to the highest position after coming in contact with devotional service. So tonight, we're going to have a first grain ceremony for Lalita Gopi. How old is she now?
6 months.
6 months old. Today?
On the
4th, she'll be 6 months, so she's getting hungry. And these ceremonies are, well, I say our culture is replete with all kinds of ceremonies from before birth all the way up to the end of life. And all of them are meant to connect us to the Supreme. And taking first grains is a big deal because Krishna is the fire of digestion and he's also the grain itself. And can I have a verse from the about Krishna as the grain? Maybe something in the 9th chapter. You're thinking of Aham Vaishvav Nirvava. That's how he's the fire of digestion. I once how he's a grains. 9th chapter, no? Anat Bhavati Bhutani. That's pretty good. That life comes from food grains. Yeah. So, connecting everything to Krishna, this is the process. And in taking the first grains, we're acknowledging and remembering how Krishna is the fire of digestion. And that's a big deal. Because every function that we have of our body is dependent on Krishna. We can't breathe without him. In fact, a friend of mine, actually, who I just talked to, the day before yesterday, was in the hospital. He was driving on his way to Tijuana to attend the Rath Yatra there. And on the way there, he got short of breath. He had to pull over the car. And I'll spare you all the details, but at one point, he thought he was going to die, and he was choking. And he said he was trying to say Krishna, but he couldn't because he didn't have the strength in his lungs. But he could say Hari. He was going, Hari, Hari, Hari. Yeah, that's easier than saying Krishna because it takes a little more strength. And he was saying, Hari, 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 as he was choking. He was revived and brought to the emergency room and spent a day in the intensive care and hopefully is out by now. But we were remembering together when I called him up in the hospital of how Krishna is the breath of life. Our ability to breathe and to eat anything and assimilate it within our body is coming from Krishna. We're fully dependent. So this ceremony, this grain ceremony, is very much focused on remembering how Krishna is the fire of digestion. And without fire of digestion, there's no happiness in life, for me anyway. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the happiest time of the day when you hear Sharir Ad Vijajal, really, your spirits come up because life is like a battlefield, and there's so many difficulties to deal with, and you know, you really have to be on your toes all the time. But when you eat, you know, there's this relationship with Krishna that's just so natural with prasadam. You just take it, it goes in, and then all of a sudden you feel better. It's special mercy. Prasade sarva dukhanam hanir. All your dukh goes away just by taking prasadam. And your mind becomes happy, and your intelligence becomes fixed. So this is Krishna. This is our connection to Krishna through the grain, through this fire of digestion. And we're acknowledging today the Lita Gopi taking her first grains.